Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket today. First, nothing says happy holidays like litigation in the Ghislaine Maxwell case. Second, an example of why you don't make allegations if they're not true. Third, update on the Alexis Sharkey case in Houston. Fourth, now the government wants to blame pharmacists for the opioid crisis. No, you can't get unemployment if you are in prison. No, officer, you can't have sex while on duty. Next, the man who defends himself in court has a fool for a lawyer and a jackass for a client. I'll explain. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. First, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And I must say, I think we had a pretty good live last night, and I think we had even a better Patreon live as well. I'm trying to think maybe we should release the Patreon to everybody, but it was so good. Kind of makes you want to keep it for our Patreon members. All right, let's get straight to the docket. First, nothing says happy holidays like litigation in the Ghislaine Maxwell case. Now, we've obviously talked about Ghislaine Maxwell. She is facing lots of charges related to her involvement relationship, work relationship with that guy named Jeff, who's no longer with us. Well, there's been lots of civil cases, and now, for the second time this month, an alleged childhood sex abuse survivor is running into unexpected opposition from Ghislaine Maxwell's attorneys as she tries to dismiss the civil case against Maxwell. Now, that guy named Jeff, his estate set up a victim's compensation fund, and this unidentified victim has settled with the fund set up by the estate of that guy named Jeff. Well, part of that settlement includes a release, and that release is to release any of the estate, any businesses, any employees whatsoever, ever coming back and suing and basically trying to double dip and get more money from anyone. Apparently, the estate would not settle without Maxwell being a part of the settlement. Now, you would think if you had a criminal case pending where you could potentially spend the remainder of your adult life in custody, that you'd maybe want to wrap up these civil matters where people don't want to sue you anymore. But there seems to be a bit of a tactical advantage that Maxwell lawyers are trying to gain here. And maybe it's just good lawyering, not trying to be ridiculous. What Ms. Maxwell's attorneys are asking for is that they want complete, unredacted copies of the agreements that these women have reached with this program set up by the estate, including the amount of the settlement and documented proof that Maxwell is released from any future liability before they'll agree to end the lawsuits. And this is where it gets a little interesting, is that Maxwell's attorneys even asked for the court to require Miss Doe, this minor, to pay Maxwell's legal costs for defending this civil suit. And in a letter to the court late Tuesday, they assailed the alleged victim's credibility in the most direct way since July. They say that Doe improperly brought this baseless civil suit against Ms. Maxwell, making claims that are decades old without a shred of documentary or corroborative support. Ms. Maxwell absolutely denies plaintiff's claims against her. They are false, according to her attorney. Needless to say, Doe's attorney, the victim in this particular case, has stated to the court that now Ghislaine Maxwell wants to make a child victim pay her attorney's fees and costs. That attorney says that that is completely unconscionable, and he's never seen anything like it in his years of practicing law. Now, why would somebody object to a case like that being dismissed, a civil suit, when you have all this other information going on? Well, that document, that settlement document, and particularly the amount of money, can go directly to one's motive to fabricate, okay? Somebody has a motive or a bias to fabricate in that particular case. And let's face it, how much money would it take for you to put somebody on the grassy knoll in Dallas in 1963? I don't know, but I'm sure everybody has a price. So clearly, Ms. Maxwell's criminal defense will probably want those documents and those dollar amounts to show this is always about the money. It's not really about sending Ms. Maxwell to prison. It's really about collecting a windfall. That's what the attorneys are going to argue, not my position. Needless to say, the court is going to have to resolve this dispute, but nobody can force the defendant in this particular case to sign the documents and agreeing to the case be dismissed. You brought the case. Why not do it? She's kind of a third peripheral party to this particular matter, and she probably wants to make sure that it's no admission of guilt on her part by this settlement agreement and thereby asking that the case be dismissed. This case is going to get good. I'm telling you, there are a lot of very fine attorneys on both sides of this case, both civil and criminal, and I think that, well, I can't wait for trial to come. I just can't wait. All right, next on the docket, an example of why you don't make allegations if they're not true. So there's this lady by the name of Katie Sorensen, and she is a want-to-be influencer, apparently, particularly in the mom influencer arena. Well, she apparently made a video stating that she was the target of an attempted kidnapping. And she put this Instagram video up, got a bunch of views, and needless to say, she's taken it down. She did make a report that somebody came up or was talking to her as she was in a parking lot. And she described these people as the not necessarily clean cut. And she felt uncomfortable around them. And instead of making them uncomfortable with my discomfort, I chose to remain in my discomfort. Well, apparently she said she screamed and what have you, made a police report. Well, guess what? Most parking lots at malls are covered, with the entire parking lot being covered by cameras, and it's covered. And so guess what? The police, you know, they take child abduction rather seriously. And needless to say, the police were able to go look at the video, contact the individuals, and they cooperated absolutely 100%. As it turns out, Ms. Sorensen sincerely misconstrued this brown couple's innocently shopping at a craft store and discussing their own grandchildren as an activity that was somehow threatening to her family. Needless to say, the police authorities in Petaluma, California, are looking at Ms. Sorensen's original statement and comparing that to the video that she put up. And apparently there's some inconsistencies, and the police said that if evidence of a racially motivated hate crime is found to have occurred, we will seek prosecution to the fullest extent of the law. Now, obviously, we're going to give everybody the presumption of innocence. Why would somebody go around try to make allegations? Why? Because they think it's going to help their influencer crowd? Are you serious? And if she made these allegations because of someone's race, guess what? She should be prosecuted. Absolutely. Next, a brief update on the Alexis Sharkey matter. She was the influencer who was found deceased on a Houston road. Well, reports have come out regarding a sanitation worker who originally spotted the body and actually thought that it was a mannequin. That sanitation worker didn't stop, but he actually called his boss. That boss's name was a gentleman by the name of John Richardson. Mr. Richardson, the sanitation supervisor who ultimately found the body, reported that Ms. Sharkey's body was there and that she was completely nude, and he saw no visible injuries whatsoever. The police speculate that her body had been out there overnight. Mr. Richardson also explained that the garbage collector was working in this area because the holiday pushed back service to the weekend. He reportedly instructed the garbage collector to continue his route and that he offered to go and check it out. He said that Miss Sharkey's foot was actually in the road, and it appeared as though Sharkey's body had been carefully placed in the brush along the road. Now, nobody can say exactly. That'd be complete speculation of how it was placed there, but that's his opinion. He said the body was totally clean. There was nothing on her body. He stated it was surprisingly clean. Now, Sharkey had allegedly told friends during a trip prior to her death that Tom Sharkey, her husband, was abusing her and that she actually feared for her safety. She reportedly also claimed that she was divorcing him. Throughout the trip, it's alleged that he was sending really awful, nasty messages to her, according to this friend. Ms. Sharkey also allegedly told her friends that he strangles me and chokes me out and I black out and I wake up on the bathroom floor every single time. Two friends also claimed that Tom Sharkey told them that the day his wife disappeared, he had gotten into an argument with her before she, quote, hopped over their patio fence and got into a car, end quote. The autopsy is still pending as it relates to the cause of death for Miss Sharkey, and it's unclear whether she's a victim of foul play or something completely innocent. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Now, obviously, Mr. Sharkey has not been arrested. The police have not indicated whether he is the person of interest in the case, and obviously, we give him the presumption of innocence as well. Next on the docket, the Department of Justice now wants to blame pharmacists for not having enough oversight when it came to the opioid crisis. And therefore, who are you going to blame? Do you sue? Do you indict the pharmacists? No, you sue Walmart, because Walmart distributed a lot of the pills. And guess what? Happen to know a little bit about pharmacies because I handled several cases regarding them that were referred to as pill mills. And guess what? Pharmacists do have a duty to inquire of a doctor and say, is this a correct prescription? Did you mean this? Or there may be some side effects, things of that nature. But pharmacists can't get into the doctor-patient relationship and start questioning what the doctor is prescribing and why. So if the doctor says, give the man 500 pills of OxyContin, certainly the pharmacist can do what they want. It's all documented. But guess who also gets to see that? The DEA. I wonder how many agents or employees at the Drug Enforcement Agency were ever fired for not catching these trends in opioid pill distribution. My guess is probably not many, if none at all. So I really do not understand the case against Walmart. You know, it seems a bit like a shakedown. And in fact, Walmart filed a preemptive lawsuit in October accusing the Department of Justice and the DEA of blaming the company for the opioid epidemic in an effort to cover for the government's own failure to quell the crisis. Walmart has stated in their pleadings, quote, blaming pharmacists for not second-guessing the very doctors the Drug Enforcement Administration approved to prescribe opioids is a transparent attempt to shift blame from DEA's well-documented failures in keeping bad doctors from prescribing opioids in the first place, end quote. Like I said, I've handled a lot of these cases. And when these pharmacists, if they were doing their job, no harm, no foul. And if they were, you know, let's say exchanging something in exchange for pills, the pharmacist is wrong and needs to go to prison. But very few doctors, if any, have ever been charged for prescribing these pills. And a lot of people, when you get into the pain management side of it, swear by these drugs and that they're absolutely necessary. Other people will now say, if you need opioids for more than 3 days, you're more than likely addicted. So things have changed for sure, but I'm not sure that the real culprit in the opioid crisis is Walmart. They may want to look a little closer, that is the federal government, and perhaps look and see how many people at their agencies that are supposedly regulating everything missed it or allowed it to continue. And how many doctors? And you also have to wonder, is there a little responsibility on the part of the patient as well? Just saying. But I guess, oh, that's right. Walmart has lots of money and can probably write a check to make this go away. Hopefully, Walmart will use that money to defend themselves. Next on the docket, a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report that's going to give you this person's social media information. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, no, you can't collect unemployment while you're behind bars. That's right. Please meet Mr. Taylor Lewis Goler. He's 29. He's a convicted sex offender, and he is serving 3 years in the California Department of Corrections. But while in custody, he and his girlfriend are alleged to have received some $11,688 from the state after submitting unemployment applications online. Investigators said that they've intercepted phone calls between Goler and his girlfriend, a nice woman by the name of Sonia Chan, from jail. During the calls, the couple actually discussed the filing of fraudulent claims for unemployment benefits. Just like we discussed last night, nobody ever believes that their calls are being recorded from the jail. Even when the calls tell you they're being recorded, I just do not get it. I don't understand it. Now, Mr. Goler, he is quite the character. Now, a jury heard evidence that he had actually taught the victim for 3 years, first meeting the young girl when she was in the second grade. After the victim completed fifth grade, they had no contact until she was 12 years old and in the seventh grade. Witnesses testified at his trial that Goler began communicating with the victim through Instagram and direct messages. The victim's family immediately told the police, and over the course of 12 hours, Mr. Goler asked the victim if they wanted to have sex together, requested provocative photos of the victim, and sent her pornographic photos of himself. What Mr. Goler didn't know was the police were on the other side of the messages. And now Mr. Goler is going to be able to spend additional time in prison because he only received a paltry 3-year sentence for wanting to have sex with children. Somehow I think the punishment for the theft from the state unemployment is actually going to be greater. Who knows? But all we can say is it's California. I'm surprised they wouldn't want to give him a PR bond or maybe release him early from California, because that's what they do. Next on the docket, no, deputy, you cannot have sex while on duty. But for God's sakes, if you're going to do it, listen when they try to tell you that your mic is hot. That's right. An LA County Sheriff deputy allegedly had sex on the Universal Studios lot, and the guy had his mic open for all to hear. And the recording is apparently quite the talk of the department. I wonder when and if it will actually be released. Apparently, one of the participants was a movie buff because the encounter went down right by the Bates Motel on the lot. You hear a woman apparently moaning as a dispatcher from the sheriff's station repeatedly tries to get her deputy's attention, telling him he has an open mic. The deputy doesn't respond. It's not exactly sure whether the deputy was in his patrol car or at a nearby location. The deputy has been placed on administrative leave pending the internal investigation. The deputy's peace officer's powers have been suspended, and the proper administrative action will be taken based upon the outcome of the investigation, according to the LA County Sheriff's Department. I wonder if that deputy is wondering, thinking, man, that was so worth it, or it wasn't worth it at all. Guess we'll just have to wait and see. Or maybe we can wait and hear how good it was. We'll just have to wait and see if they release that tape. Next on the docket, the man who defends himself in court has a fool for a lawyer and a jackass for a client. As you may recall, we discussed Maurice Jewell Taylor. He's 34, and the reason he came to our attention was, that's right, he's accused of double murder of his two children, and now he wants to represent himself. He appeared in court the other day and stated that he has religious reasons for wanting to represent himself in court and claimed that there was a hit out on him. The judge's response was to emphatically and repeatedly recommend that the defendant keep his counsel because pro se representation was very risky. Finally, the court voiced doubt about Mr. Taylor's mental capacity and ordered a competency evaluation, which should always take place when someone accused of a crime like this wants to represent themselves. Now, if he's competent, he certainly has a constitutional right to defend oneself. That's right, you have a choice of attorneys, even including you, even though it's going to be a mess. It turns a very sad and serious situation into an absolute circus because now the prosecutor and the judge, although they can't assist the defendant, they have to make sure the record is clean so that the matter does not get reversed on appeal. But the court always advises the defendant when they want to proceed that they're doing a very silly thing, that the law is a very complex and specialized area, specifically criminal law, and that the judge cannot assist the defendant in any way. So you now, as a pro se defendant, have to become familiar with criminal law, criminal procedure, and the rules of evidence. And the court can't help the defendant in any way. Now, Mr. Taylor made specific statements that he said, "I trust that God will help me in this case because I am in the right." Now, I have had many clients over the years that wanted to proceed to trial when there was a very reasonable offer on the table, and they said, quote, "God was on our side." Now, I can tell you that although God may have been our side, God was not co-counsel and could not stop horrible facts from coming into evidence, whereupon, that's right, the defendant was ultimately convicted. Mr. Taylor, if he's found competent, can obviously do whatever he desires, but it is not a good decision to represent yourself in court. What can you do? The court's going to do their best, but at the end of the day, I'm sure Mr. Taylor will do it his way. And finally today, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Little ironic in this particular situation, Mr. Rashad Cutler was being contacted by the Florida Highway Patrol for a tinted window violation. Instead of simply pulling over and finding out what the citation was for, that's right, a tinted window violation, which more than likely would have been simply a fine only, he decided to flee. Mr. Cutler, after he fled, parked his car at the Getaway Restaurant and Bar, how ironic, whereupon he jumped into the water and began swimming to hide in the mangroves on a nearby island. Apparently, the Florida Highway Patrol sergeant that pulled Mr. Cutler over tried to lure him back to the land with ladders and rafts, but he continued to swim. So get this, this got a little carried away in my humble opinion, given the fact that it originally started out as a tinted window violation. That's right, helicopters flew overhead over this mangrove field, canines were brought in to search. There was a multi-agency manhunt, which included the Florida Highway Patrol, the Coast Guard, the Sheriff's Office, and the Florida Fish and Wildlife. Ultimately, they found Mr. Cutler on the island. He attempted to flee yet again, but don't worry, he was tased until he was taken into custody, and now he is in custody. But I guess as we continue on, we find out why Mr. Cutler fled. Well, that's right, he had a warrant. And guess what was in the car? Thousands of fraudulent checks, driver's licenses, and a Walmart price maker. So needless to say, Mr. Cutler is now facing felony charges, some 10 of them, including resisting an officer, possession of forged bills, and possession of methamphetamine. Mr. Cutler has an extensive criminal history and had an active warrant for his arrest, another reason why he was going to flee. So, Mr. Cutler, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Was it for fleeing? No. Was it for knowing you have a warrant and fleeing? No. Although those are very good reasons. If you're going to be driving a car and you're going to be a criminal, make sure your tint is in accordance with the state's guidelines. That's just like making sure if you're going to drink and drive, make sure that your taillights all work. Make sure the little light that goes on the license plate is illuminating, because you're going to get pulled over. And here, obviously, you did. But Mr. Cutler, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, and if you're the winner, announce the final contestant tomorrow morning, you could win Crime Talk merchandise. Now, if you want Crime Talk merchandise and you don't want to be a dumb criminal contestant like Mr. Cutler, hit the link below, go to Teespring, bam, you can order all this cool stuff, and there's a bunch of new stuff that's been added, and I can't say it's going to be there in time for Christmas, but it should be there in time for New Year's to start the New Year's off right with your Crime Talk merchandise. Thanks for watching. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.